Seek back the city for yourself tonight. I'll take back the city for me. Take back the city for yourself tonight. Whoa, whoa.
Welcome to Third Paradigm, a weekly think tank on how to take back our cities, farmland, and water, our money, production, and trade, our media, education, and culture, our religion, and even our God. Our goal is that every community in the world, including our own, is able to prioritize their resources to feed and nurture their children. It takes a network to undermine an empire. I'm your host, Teresa Caraggio, broadcasting through Free Radio Santa Cruz and Upstart Radio Online. Our title this week is The Upside Down Tax Pyramid. In our feature rant, we'll look at taxation. What does our tax system reward and what does it discourage? What does it force us to do and what does it force underground? Is it possible to make an honest living in Santa Cruz? Then we'll look for a migratory path back down from the precipice we're on. We'll also look at Obama's ice cream and the trouble with chocolate, today after its biggest day of the year. But because poetry is always fair trade, unlike flowers, diamonds, candy, or cell phones, we'll celebrate Valentine's Day with a love poem by Joy Harjo called This Is My Heart. The music is Cinematic Orchestra with I Built a House.
There is a house built out of stone. Wooden floors, walls, and windowsills. Tables and chairs warmed by all of the dust. This is a place where I don't feel alone. This is a place where I feel at home.
This is my heart. It is a good heart. Bones and a membrane of mist and fire are the woven cover. When we make love in the flower world, my heart is close enough to sing to yours in a language that has no use for clumsy human words. My head is a good head, but it is a hard head, and it whirs inside with a swarm of worries. What is the source of this singing, it asks? And if there is a source, why can't I see it right here, right now, as real as these hands hammering the world together with nails and sinew? By the crack.
silver skin, I climb to the top. I climb the tree to see. When the guys came around to blow me down, held on as tightly as you held on me, held on as tightly as you held on me.
This is my soul. It is a good soul. It tells me, come here, forgetful one. And we sit together with a lilt of small winds who rattle the scrub oak. We cook a little something to eat, a rabbit, some soft key, then a sip of something sweet for memory. Come lie next to me, says my heart. Put your head here. It is a good thing, says my soul. That was Joy Harjo with This Is My Heart from her book A Map to the Next World. The music was I Built a House by Cinematic Orchestra from their CD Ma Flor. Love is indeed a good thing. How did it come to keep such bad company? Love has sold its image in order to sell some of the most destructive products on the planet. What's the formula again? A guy should spend 3 months of his income on a ring so anyone looking at your hand can calculate his net worth? For a history of diamonds and oppression, go to Derek Jensen's book, The Culture of Make-Believe. Eve Ensler has turned Valentine's Day into a V-Day with an annual focus on violence against women, especially in the Congo. Cell phones, laptops, prosthetic devices, and rockets all have one thing in common. Coltan. Coltan is a unique mineral with a melting point of almost 3,000 degrees. It's a magic dust needed to insulate any small computerized device, and 85% of this critical supply is located in the Congo. Activists believe that it's funding the femicide, which is genocide against women. In the forefront of justice for flower workers is the International Labor Rights Forum. They're also the champions of child laborers and slaves on cocoa plantations in the Ivory Coast. Their updated cocoa scorecard ranks chocolate from bitter to sweet in labor practices. The most bitter are Nestle, which owns Häagen-Dazs, M&M Mars, which owns Dove, and Hershey, which owns Scharfenberger and Dagoba. When Dagoba sold to Hershey, they pledged to continue to be socially responsible. But what does that mean except greenwashing? In the 1980s, Hershey single-handedly devastated Belize by getting farmers to plant cocoa with the promise of a high price. Farmers went into debt, and years later, the harvest was ready. Hershey then only paid them a third of the promised price. some farmers left their crops to rot in the field rather than selling. So Dagoba is a thin, deceptive shell on this history. Godiva has also been sold by Campbell's Soup. Bet you didn't know there were chicken and stars in your truffles. The buyer is the largest food commodity seller in Turkey. This doesn't bode any better for those child slaves. Speaking of Häagen-Dazs, there's a vignette making the email rounds these days in conservative circles. In it, two kids are running for fifth grade class president. One kid presents a careful point-by-point analysis for how he'll make improvements and address problems. The little girl gets up and just says four words: ice cream every Friday. She wins by a landslide. The email makes the analogy that Obama is promising ice cream, but it queries, who's going to milk the cow and clean up the barn? This was sort of encouraging. I didn't know that Republicans were with me on a return to dairy farming. I've been wanting to start a dairy co-op, and I know just the place for it. I need some folks who know their way around a mobile milking barn, and I don't care if they play Rush Limbaugh to the jerseys. Now when I walk around the farmer's market, I'll keep an eye out for the secret Republicans. We can rake the muck together to clean up the barn. Meanwhile, our economic chickens are coming home to roost, and we've yet to see if the stimulus package will lay an egg. My Republican buddies are blocking it because a Buy American campaign is protectionist. Protectionist has become a dirty word. Spending taxpayer money on taxpayer-made goods is protectionist. Refusing to trade with countries where children are put to work and unionists are put to death is protectionist. Let me ask you, if we're not going to protect ourselves, who is? How did protection, meaning buying from neighbors, become a bad thing? And defense, meaning killing people who never did anything to us, become a noble thing? A Google ad I just saw advertised used military equipment. Can you give a retired Uzi a good home? China is now the third biggest economy in the world, and their military spending is increasing by 18% per year. Weapons and low labor costs seem to go hand in glove. But for the U.S., high labor costs are promoted as the reason to produce more weapons. We need good defense jobs. Lockheed Martin ran a full-page ad in the Washington Post to show that the F-22 Raptor, an expensive weapon of dubious utility, is tied to 95,000 jobs in 44 states. The shipbuilding industry is lobbying Congress to double ship production to save 400,000 jobs in 47 states. It's no accident that workers in Kansas are building ship parts. When defense contracts go before Congress, each representative has jobs in their constituency riding on it. But there's an even more sinister aspect to this military Keynesianism. Selling arms abroad protects jobs at home. Last year, U.S. arms exports totaled $32 billion. In the previous 2 years, we sold weapons to more than 170 nations, up from 123 at the start of the Bush administration. Taiwan just bought $6.5 billion. But activists in the U.S. and Asia have launched the Pacific Freeze campaign to reduce military budgets, freeze arms imports and exports, stop the construction of new military bases, and halt the development of new weapons systems. Six countries, the U.S., Russia, China, Japan, South Korea, and North Korea, account for 65% of global military spending, with the U.S. alone accounting for nearly 50%. So let me get this straight. We're selling weapons to the people to whom we owe trillions in debt. They use these weapons to control their own population, keeping wages low. This floods our market with cheap goods we can't compete with, creating a huge trade deficit. Our trade policy prevents us from adjusting for this by charging a duty, which would both bring in revenue and protect jobs. We can't even use marketing to boost domestic production with a Buy American campaign. Plus, we're subsidizing weapons production with our tax money while borrowing trillions more to create the jobs that do things we actually need. On that pathetic note, let's listen to Manu Chao with Politic Kills.
Your mind. Politics needs human beings. Politics needs lies. That's why, my friend, it's an evidence. Politics is violence. Why, my friend, it's an evidence. Politics is violence. Drugs. Politics use bombs. Politics need torpedoes. Politics needs blood. That's why, my friend, it's an evidence. Politics is violence. Why, my friend, it's an evidence. Politics is violence. Politics need force. Politics need cries. Politics need ignorance. Politic need lies.
Politic kills, politic kills, politic kills. Politic kills, politic kills, politic kills. Politic kills, politic kills, politic kills. Politic kills, politic kills.
Cries. Politics need ignorance. Politics need lies. Politics need force. Politics need cries. Politics need ignorance. Politics need lies.
That was Manu Chao with Politic Kills, which says politics is a dirty dance, politics is finance. My daughter Veronica and I just presented a session at the UCSC Strengthening the Roots Convergence on food, trade, and justice. One of the students was telling me how to swag a rhyme and make it less predictable. Another rapper technique, he said, was to pair the words that almost rhyme and then work backwards to the lines. So call me a secret Republican, but I just don't get how more debt can help us. It figures that the next generation will have a faster circulation of cash, and the future that we plunder won't be a force that sucks them under. So how will we make the great escape when the ones who get the big tax break are those who have a job to tax and not the ones who get the axe? Tomorrow's looking grim, U.S., with or without the stimulus. Well, I better stick to my day job, although I'm not sure my lecture and diagrams were any cheerier. The sessions were held in a large open space. I was explaining how taxes favor wealth monopoly and why, unless they changed the tax system, they were screwed whatever they did. Meanwhile, the group next door was throwing a fair trade soccer ball and introducing themselves. I'm Bridget. Thanks, Bridget. I'm Louise. It was like trying to give a eulogy for the world over a pep rally. This morning, the seven wonderful students who stayed with us left, leaving fair trade chocolates, a lovely thank you note, and leaving the garage cleaner than they found it. They said my presentation had sparked a lot of discussion, and they want to help work on a way out. Since this will take all of us, let me explain why our tax system dooms our chances to be productive, secure, and to trade fairly. First of all, I'm not against taxes, and I'm not against the amount of tax we pay. What's inside out is what we tax and what we don't, and what's upside down is who the taxes go to. We tax working for a living, and we tax having a place to live, perchance to farm. We don't tax putting the next generation into debt or forcing terrible working conditions on the rest of the world. We tax gambling less than producing. The bulk of taxes we pay go directly into a centralized system which then controls who it goes to. The communities that provide the social services we need are then funded by extra taxes that make us dependent on the very things that are destroying us. Let me illustrate. Every time a dollar circulates, turning our labor into a product, 43¼ cents goes to the federal or state government. Federal income tax averages 25%, with over half of the discretionary budget going to defense. State income tax is 11%. But California sales tax adds 7¼%, which goes to the state. That adds up to 43¼ of the value of our labor going to a nationwide or California-wide coffer. So working for a living takes almost half to fund governments we have no control over. Taxes on capital gains in the stock market, however, are only taxed at 15%. A product I make and sell to my neighbor deducts 18¼% to the state between income and sales and 25% to the Fed. But when Hershey buys cocoa beans from exploited Bolivians, they pay no import tax. These products of exploited labor become the same as any product of my labor. That's what the free market is. The state makes the most money on sales tax from these products, but the local district is allowed to add from 0.25% to 1%. Santa Cruz, however, has added 1¼%. It was the only district I saw on the chart this high. This is still a slim margin of the 44.5% the government takes from each labor-to-product cycle. But this 1.25 is all we have discretion over, which is why big-box retailers and car dealerships get tax breaks to come here. I guess a percent in the hand is worth two in the bush, speaking of our last administration. The other local tax is on property. In most states, this is set at 1% of the speculative value if the house were sold. Over the last few years, the average house in Santa Cruz County has sold for $750,000. If you paid 1% of that, it would be $7,500 per year or $825 per month. This is on top of your mortgage, which is calculated as the most debt you can absorb for 30 years. When this proved impossible for retired homeowners, Proposition 13 was passed. This limited the tax from going up more than 2% a year. Some years ago, I faked my way into getting the roll values from the county treasury office, which are the assessed values versus the sales values. While assessed values could only go up 2%, sale value, and therefore rents, had gone up 8% a year for the last 25 years. So the city was getting less than half of the actual cost of living here, which is the primary complaint of teachers and city employees. To make up the difference, they add school district and parcel taxes. These add another 11.5% to the property tax, plus $200. So let's imagine that you inherited a bunch of money and you were able to buy outright an average single-family house in Santa Cruz for $750,000. You're set. Secure for life, right? Well, not really. You still have to pay $8,500 a year or $713 a month in property tax, or you'll lose your house. Let's say you wanted to rent it to a nice young family for a fair rate. With insurance, utilities, and maintenance, if you rented for $1,000 a month, you might break even with a house that's fully paid. It doesn't make financial sense to hold onto property. But of this $713 a month, simply to live in the house you've paid for, the county only controls $88. This margin pays for what means the most to us, because those are the things held hostage for new taxes. We wouldn't vote in a new tax to send $10 million a day in military aid to Israel. So why do people buy? If a house is lived in for 2 years, the owners can make a $500,000 tax-free profit. It's the only source of untaxed profit there is. At a low 5.3% bank mortgage, a $500,000 payment to the seller passes on $1 million in debt to the buyer, with a profit of a $500,000 to the banks. So the system discourages debt-free living or sustainable rents or owner-financed loans. Instead, it forces sales and new mortgage loans. As I said to the students, I'm not telling you this to depress you. I'm saying this to let you know the depression isn't in your head. It's not a mental condition to be treated with drugs. It's a social condition to be treated with action. You've been told that if you stay in school, get a job, and work hard, you can have a secure life. It ain't so. We need to look at why, rather than blaming ourselves or feeling survivor guilt if we're still making it. On Monday, February 23rd, at 6:30, Transition Santa Cruz is starting an economic study circle at High Street Congregational Church. The first night will show a video on Bill McKibben called Deep Economy. It's free for all, and the next 6 Mondays charge a sliding scale of $30 to $90 for the series. It's called Economics as if Human Needs Matter, and I'll certainly be there where we can talk about how we solve this. This has been Teresa Caraggio with Third Paradigm. Thanks to Skidmark Bob for production, editing, and great music suggestions. Our closing song is 33 Degrees from Thievery Corporation.
Public enemy of the society, the one you cannot see, the 33 degrees. Before you call a shot, but now it's our turn. Blow up the system and the tables have a turn. You'll hear the knowledge you thought I'd never learn. I strike a match and make the whole